This shows you how smart I am. I just realized this a couple years ago, but I started the company when I was 39. My wife and I look back and go, what were we thinking?
This is Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, a podcast that explores why Montana leads the nation in entrepreneurship and business startups. I'm Arnie Sherman. What do the TV shows Duck Commander, Surviving Zombies, and Beach Hunters have in common? They're three of the 34 shows produced by Warm Springs Productions. Founded in 2008 with more than 120 full-time employees in Missoula, Montana, and Manhattan, Montana, Warm Springs Production develops and produces television shows with a flair for the outdoors. Today on Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, meet Chris Richardson, president of Warm Springs Productions, who works on telling stories with mojo that matters. Support for this Montana Public Radio podcast comes from Blackfoot, providing communication solutions for Montana businesses, plus opportunities like C2M Beta, an innovation lab aimed at helping startups thrive. C2MBeta.com. This show is made possible with support from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. Chris Richardson, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So how did you decide to create Warm Springs Productions?
That's a good question. We've been in Missoula, Montana for 25 years. I came out here from Minnesota and went to college out here at the University of Montana. I'd been out here for 5 days, and I went to a nice bar here called the Silver Dollar Bar. And that's where I met my wife. So 5 days I'd been in Montana. We've been together for 25 years now. We went to college out here, and we always thought that we would most likely have to leave this town and go start a business, follow our career somewhere else. But we kind of found a way for it to work here. She managed some vision centers, did some medical things. And I, going through college here, I was a business major until I was a senior. Not a very good business major at all. I failed a lot. And then I decided to change to radio television here at the university. And that's really where I found my passion for television and for camera. I worked at a local TV station here and ran a camera. I directed and TD'd and technical director for morning shows. But I started shooting sports, and that's where I really found my passion for being a cameraman. I kind of stumbled on it, but that's what I found that I really loved and had that passion for. So I worked, went to college, continued to go to school, and then I interned for a local production company here, eventually got hired on by them, and that's where I was able to really cut my teeth on being a cameraman. I traveled the world shooting lots of outdoor programming, fly fishing shows. So that was my kind of passion of how I found that. I worked for that company for about 5 years, was on the road a lot, 200 days plus a year, and it worked for us. And that was fine, and I really loved it, but that's when we found out we were going to have our first child, so I didn't want to be in the position of being gone all of the time. So that's when I decided to be a freelance cameraman, left that company, freelanced for a lot of good companies, freelanced for a lot of bad companies, and it's really where I learned a lot of, I think, how to treat people, how to manage people, because when you're a freelancer, you're self-employed. When you jump into that position, you don't know what you're getting into, really. There's things that you think you can control as a freelancer, like I'm going to be in control of my schedule and this will be great and I can kind of pick and choose what I want to do. Well, it's somewhat of a, like anything, a cutthroat business. You're now self-employed and now you've got to take that next job that's offered to you. So I did that for about 5 or 6 years and freelance, same thing, traveled all around the world. And during that time of working at a production company and then freelancing, I met a good friend, Mark Pierce, and we used to travel back at the production company, used to travel shooting a duck hunting show. We became fast friends and worked traveling all around, staying in some great places and some lousy places. But we just had a lot of things in common and hit it off. So cut to working at that production company and then freelancing. I also worked with him during that time as a freelancer. He had a business over in Manhattan, Montana, not too far from Bozeman. So in about 2007, I went to him and said, I think I want to start a production company. And he knew that world too. And I said, I think we can do it better with a few simple philosophies. I think we should partner up. He had a great sense of business because he's operated a large business, manufacturing, a lot of other things. And I came from the production side. So that's when we decided to start Warm Springs Productions.
So fast forward a little over 10 years.
Yeah.
You have over 130 employees.
That's right.
Did you know back then that you would be here now?
Absolutely not. I think as entrepreneurs, if you knew what you knew now, just the struggles and the challenges, you'd probably say, nah, I don't want to have any part in that. It's something that you can never predict getting into it. I never could have predicted the success of our company growing this fast. But really, I mean, it's the simple philosophy of our company is treat people with kindness, respect, allow them to grow, promote within, and essentially build a company that I wanted to work at and that Mark wanted to work at.
So for you and Mark, starting off in 2007, 2008, and now you've meandered here to this much larger production operation, was there a breakthrough moment where you knew it was going to go from being a couple of guys working in an area they loved to a substantial company?
I think when we got into in about 2008, we went back to what we knew in creating outdoor, at that time, hunting travel shows. So we went back into what we knew. We got a couple shows our first year, and one of the big breakthrough shows for us was called Duck Commander. It's this family that lived in Louisiana, and what put us on the map in that outdoor world with Outdoor Channel, and we did a lot of shows for Outdoor Channel and Versus and those Sportsman's Channel, those type of shows. What put us on the map is, of course, that family is full of personalities, but we were able to mix and blend a hunting show with reality. And that was a huge success for us. And that allowed us to really grow our outdoor division of that production. And after the first 3 years of Warm Springs existing, I think we produced about 70 to 80 episodes of outdoor television. So it was a big production, and there was a lot of moving parts. And throughout that 3 years, we continued to hire a majority of local people here in Missoula and essentially grow them. The first 10 employees that we had at Warm Springs Productions are still with us. So that's something we're very proud of.
Commendable.
Yeah. I think that's been the strength of our company is they've grown with us, and they've been able to learn as we continue to grow. We make all kinds of mistakes. That's, I think, as an entrepreneur, you have to be willing to fail and make mistakes and then learn from those.
So do the networks come to you with programs that are already fully developed? Do you also develop product yourself for the networks?
Yeah, the majority of our production is all developed by internally. So most of our production, most of our development is in the Manhattan office. And it's just generated from a combination of having this relationship with networks and learning what they're looking for, what they want. And then it's casting, it's creating ideas, it's creating formats. And yeah, that's a big part of our company's development. You got to have a lot of things in development to keep this giant engine running. So like, for instance, Mountain Men going through the process or going through the kind of the big stepping stones of Warm Springs Productions is when we were doing outdoor television, we wanted to be able to tell a story to a bigger audience. We got repped by an agency. And so our first show was called Making Monsters on Travel Channel. The big show that put us on the map is Mountain Men on History Channel. That was, we're going into our seventh season, but that really established kind of who we are. And it was for us just something that really did put us on the map because that was the number one new cable show in the first year of Mountain Men. So at that time it was 4.5 million people. So we were kind of known as the Mountain Men. Now that put us on the map, meaning all of those networks were saying, oh, we'd love to work with Warm Springs because they make hit shows. So that's something that we were proud of, and it really was in our wheelhouse from all of the outdoor TV we'd produced. Mountain Men was not a huge learning curve for us.
Did you cast it yourself?
We did cast it ourselves, yep. When we were looking for Mountain Men, I called a buddy of mine, Tim Linehan, who lived up in the Yaak Valley in Montana, and asked him if he knew of any real mountain men. And he said, yeah, lives right up the street, have been good friends with them. And that's where he introduced us to Tom and Nancy. And then we found Eustace Conway was our second mountain man. And he had a book written about him by Elizabeth Gilbert. And then Marty up in Alaska, he was on the cover of a magazine that we found as Trapper of the Year, I think. So, yeah, we did cast those guys, but then we were able to go and make what they call sizzle reel, show History Channel, and they said, we'll take it.
So you said you takes a lot to keep the engine going. So I need to ask you, how did you finance your operation?
Mark had a business, existing business, and he helped with the business side of it, and then I helped with the production. So it was no outside finance.
So you built the company to 130 employees with no outside financing.
Correct.
Your slogan is Mojo That Matters.
Yeah.
Tell me what that means.
We came up with that a long time ago. It's kind of, we tried to describe it as like, what's this secret sauce? What is this something about the person that we're looking for that you want to work with? What is that person that you want to be around with, you want to work with, you want to grow with, be challenged with, laugh with? And we just kind of came up with that word mojo. Most recently, we kind of touched on something that I think is close to mojo, that is humble, hungry, and smart. This is a book from Pat Lucioni that he kind of touched on this while he grew his company. But when we read this book, kind of hit home, was like, is that mojo? I think that's close to it. But it's really, it's for us, we wanted people that want to be here in Missoula and Manhattan, Montana. And it's obviously a lifestyle that everyone wants to live here. And it's just a balance of work and play and family, all of that. And yeah, that is mojo.
Was it luck to some extent that you were developing Warm Spring Production the same time that the History Channel and House and Garden Network and other of the, I would say, non-mainstream networks really started to attract an audience? I saw in the past week that Joanne Gaines' book, Joanne Gaines from Fixer Upper, yep, is the number one selling book on the New York Times nonfiction list, more than James Comey's book about, yep, the White House. What has really happened in your industry?
Yeah, it's interesting. Absolutely, there's a lot of luck involved. Right time, right place. I think for us too, we were a new model for TV production. We were up here in Montana, where people couldn't, at least networks couldn't wrap their heads around. Like, wait, how do you? You're from Montana. Majority of networks are from bigger cities: LA, New York, Denver. So. I think it was absolutely luck, good timing for us. You know, even 9 years ago, the cable industry has changed. There was no Netflix when we started this company. I don't know when it started, but maybe delivering DVDs. But yeah, it's changed quickly. And I think we were there at the right time, and we were able to produce what these guys wanted.
For our listeners, you're wearing a T-shirt that says Log Cabin Living, which I also know is on House and Garden Network, because I've seen the show.
Yep.
How did that develop?
Yeah, HGTV. We created a strong relationship with them a while back. And Log Cabin Living was a show, I think it was a collaborative effort with the network. And we were able to go and shoot a few pilots of Log Cabin Living, and it just really, that's one show that hit home. That's another big show for us that put us on the map, kind of the little show that could. We weren't expecting that necessarily to be as big a success. We just hit 100 episodes, which is a very huge achievement and very challenging in this industry, is to hit 100 episodes. We hit 100 episodes of Mountain Men and Log Cabin Living. But I think we purposefully went after HGTV and tried to create that relationship with them to be able to deliver shows. When we deliver a show to a network, you know, I started as a cameraman, we always want to over-deliver. We want to make that show, no matter what network it is, the most beautiful show on that network, the best storytelling. So we leave it all on the table. So I think it's the success of we had with Log Cabin Living, and then it's just establishing that trust and that relationship with HG that has allowed us to continue to grow in at HGTV.
Do you have a sense now, based on the last 10 years, of something that's in production, whether it's going to be a hit or not, or is it still a crapshoot? You put it out there and you just wait to see what happens.
It is absolutely a crapshoot. I wish I knew, because there are sizzle reels that we see that I say, all right, I'm going to bet one of my kids on this, and I would have lost all of my kids by now. It's really is a crapshoot. There's shows that we absolutely fall in love with, that we believe in, and sometimes the audience just doesn't find it. And no matter what, that's a part of the industry. We're kind of in the business of no, and we're in the business of not every show is a hit. Not every show is a second season. Not every show goes to series. So you just kind of keep your head down and keep plowing forward and put the best product you can on the table. But yeah, it's tough. We've got some shows on now that we just, the entire staff loves, but the ratings aren't there. So it's tough. You fall in love with these shows, and then you got to let them go.
So you and Mark love being cameramen. That's how you started this business. You have 130 employees now. You're running a real business with payroll and human resources and all the issues that go along with running any business. So what's been your biggest challenge taking on that new role?
Yeah, I think the strength of it, and yeah, I may have muddied the waters, but I was a cameraman. Mark was actually a host. But I think the strength of what Mark brought to the table was he had that business knowledge. I was, you know, a cameraman for 10 years. I knew what was needed in post. I knew all of the production. I should say not all of it, but a lot of it. I knew how all of that worked, and he had some knowledge of that. But he really helped the company grow from the business side. We, from the beginning, are a for-profit company, and that's purposeful. We want to treat this as a business. If you have all creative, you're not going to hit your deadlines, you're not going to hit your budgets. If you have all logistics and budget, you don't have the creative. So it's a balance, but we treat it very much like a business, and you have to, because that's all a part of the business that is critical. And if you can make money, that allows you to promote your staff. That allows you, our staff, you know, has a lot of benefits with 401k, with gym memberships, with bonuses, with a free beer a day, which is exciting. Our office is right next to a brewery. So, but that's important. That allows, you know, it's not about the beer. It's about these guys being able to gather and talk and socialize, really. But it's a very important part of and strength of our company is that business side. You have to have that balance. So we've learned along the way. We have amazing people around us, amazing CFOs, director of operations. We have a really strong team that's grown with us over the years. And that's kind of the secret to our success.
Now that you've moved into a different role than from when you start, what drives you?
I like to win. I think I care about everyone that I work with. That's a big incentive, is to keep this big engine running. And there's an excitement about it, because really it's a new challenge every day. I came from having a camera on my shoulder for many, many years to now standing behind a desk, and it has all of its challenges. It has the challenges of operation, of the business side, of selling a show, of keeping your head up, you know, getting back up when you get knocked down. Like I said, this is a business of no's. Their director of development, it's a really tough job, because you're throwing so many things against the wall, and they're saying, no. So it has its own challenges every day, but it's just, you know, I'm fortunate to be in this position. Like I said, I never could have imagined 10 years ago that I would be in this position, but, you know, I started this company. This shows you how smart I am. I just realized this a couple of years ago, but I started the company when I was 39, and my wife and I look back and go, what were we thinking? We had three kids. If you knew what you knew, I probably wouldn't have done it, but you just keep your head down and you just do it.
So has your track record of success overcompensated for the challenge of being a Montana company going to New York or LA and dealing with the coastal mentalities?
When we started, we thought that that would be a challenge for us because we would kind of have to whisper that we're from Montana. But it really played to our advantage because it did separate us from all these other production companies. All of these states are, you know, sometimes referred to as the flyover states. But this, I think our model of a lot of staff was not normal in LA, and it still isn't. There's a few companies, but that doesn't happen overnight. That you can't just start a company and hire all these people and then they just grow. We had to promote from within, and I think it has played a big advantage to us because with this staff, we have continuity across the board. We know all of our team. We know our strengths. We know of our weaknesses. So it's been a huge benefit actually to us.
So what's next for Warm Springs?
We continue to try and grow. I think our big challenge is trying to diversify in this industry. Things have changed fairly quickly. Now we have Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and Apple, and along with all the cable television networks. So we're trying to diversify in that area, along with trying to maintain all of our relationships with HG and all of these existing relationships we have. We're trying to diversify in, I think, our strengths of what we call somewhat of like guy TV, Mountain Men. We have a show on Discovery Channel called The Last Outpost. And then the HG type shows, lifestyle, the food and HG and travel, those type of shows. And then docudrama also. We're trying to continue down that path. And that's more of a semi-scripted, actors, explosions, all of those kind of fun things.
How big can you get?
Honestly, I believe we can get as big as we want. I think as you continue to grow, you have more challenges, but I've always believed that there's nothing beyond our reach of hit shows. So I feel strongly that this model is a real strength to us as the industry changes. And I think we can continue to grow if we continue to give the mojo that matters.
You mentioned looking back 10 years and talking with your wife about it. You might not have done it knowing what you know now. So what advice do you give to an entrepreneur who's looking to start a business, particularly in the media arena, based on this 10 years of experience?
Yeah, I think it's be ready to fail. Be ready to not get rich. It's when you start these things, you imagine, oh, if we sell this show, if we have some success, this is going to pay back. But it's really going to pay you back quickly. Over the time, you just have to keep throwing your money back at the company, and you have to be willing to do everything. That's really how we looked at it. Is early on, we had four people in the office, and we all did everything. It was like this team effort that you don't have the ability to have someone pack your equipment or make production books or all those things. Just everyone chips in and does it. But really, it's just never giving up and trying to continue to work harder and harder and, like I said, accept failure and learn from those failures.
One last thing, Chris.
Yep.
You talk about telling the best stories. So tell me a story about Warm Springs Production that kind of epitomizes the best of what you do.
The best of what we do. We were just, I don't know if this is the best, but it's, I guess, an accolade that we just received that we weren't expecting, but we were just ranked as one of the top 100 production companies in the world, which is pretty an amazing achievement, which I never could have imagined. I think something that we're the best that we do, I think, is not necessarily the production. I'm proud of all of the shows that we make. I think it's the people. I think it's the secret is hire people smarter than you, treat people with respect, challenge them, work with them, communicate, and be nice, really. That's really what I think separates us is it's just some of those simple philosophies that we strongly believe in. And if you can grow your company and expand that company and have that company culture, that's company culture is our secret weapon.
Chris, thank you for being on the show and sharing your extraordinary entrepreneurial story.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I appreciate your listening to Can Do, Lessons from Savvy Montana Entrepreneurs, produced by Autumn Barnes and Beth Ann Austin in association with Montana Public Radio. For comments, recommendations for future guests, or general information, please go to mtpr.org. There you can find previous guests' contact information and content from previous shows. Listen next time to Can Do, when our guest will be Dr. Vadim Levitin, discussing the complex and perplexing world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Once again, I'm Arnie Sherman, wishing you peace and prosperity. This show is made possible with support from the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. Support for this Montana Public Radio podcast comes from Blackfoot, providing communication solutions for Montana businesses, plus opportunities like C2M Beta, an innovation lab aimed at helping startups thrive. C2MBeta.com.